say a few words about each speaker and introduce them. Our first speaker, our keynote speaker, is Joe Calabrese from the Greater Cleveland Regional Transit Authority. And I think what really jumps off the page in his bio to me is that his agency was honored as the best large transit system in North America by APTA in 2007. He himself was named the Outstanding Transit Manager of the Year the following year, 2008, by APTA. So we're hearing this morning from somebody who knows BRT as well as anyone and who has had, really, we're going to hear about one of the great success stories in the United States. So everyone, please welcome Joe Calabrese. Thank you.
Thanks, David, and thanks, Matt, for helping me do my job. It's my pleasure to be here. I'm going to talk to you about our success story in Cleveland. This is the second best thing I think I did in Cleveland, the first thing we'll talk about before. But the common denominator between the two best things we did was to do things with a high brand image, with high quality, something that really attracted the customer, more from a marketing PR perspective. Don Juranovic's in the room. Don is a former employee of mine. Don, where are you? Oh, right here. Don. I had a lunch on Monday with our new planning director, and he gave me this picture. And I'm going to ask Don if he knows what this is. This is Euclid Avenue. We're talking about Euclid Avenue. A couple hundred thousand people in Euclid Avenue. And Don, what is this picture? I'll give you a hint. It's not when the Browns won the Super Bowl. It's not when the Indians won the World Series. What do you think this is?
When you were named general manager.
Almost. But to talk about how things have changed, how our perspectives have changed, this was a celebration of, they call it the Parade of Progress, celebrating Cleveland's move from streetcars to buses. It was the beginning of the end in some people. This was progress back in the 50s. You know, obviously now we're trying to move from buses back to streetcars. So I just thought this was kind of very interesting. What is BRT? I think Matt started talking about this before. Flexible, high performance, rapid physical characteristics, unique image, unique quality. I think the image thing I'll be talking a lot about later. And the permanence is something very important. Probably better described by what does it do, the major elements in it, the running ways, stations, vehicles, off-board fare collection, the technology Matt talked about, the service and operating plan. Our system operates 24/7. Every 5 minutes in the rush hour, the most frequent service we provide, the performance characteristics and travel time savings, reliability, identity and image, safety and capacity, and certainly the rider benefits, something we really see an increase in ridership. Very important, the support of land development and the reinvestment people made into Cleveland because of it. Kind of an overview of Cleveland, just to set it in perspective. We're not NJT. We're a county entity. We have geographic political borders that we can't cross, which is problematic, but pretty much 500 buses, 108 rail cars, 24 RTVs. That's rapid transit vehicles. We don't define BRT as bus rapid transit. We define it as better rapid transit, that whole image thing. People aren't getting on a bus. They're getting on a rapid. Paratransit and job access. Pretty typical of a lot of cities, regions. We're downtown-oriented. Most of our services are typical fleets you might see here in New Jersey. Our park and ride services, our ticks, standard 40-foot workhorses, our downtown trolleys. Again, this was the number one best thing we did. This is not a bus, even though it is a bus. It's painted green, has a little cow catcher on front, little wood grain on the side. These are our downtown trolleys. Again, not buses, trolleys, that image, that brand that really works for us in Cleveland. Rail network, the rail system started back in the 1920s with light rail. Moving into downtown, the heavy rail system was built in the 1950s. Extension of the light rail system out to the Rock Roll Hall of Fame, the New Brown Stadium and things like that in the 1990s, mid-90s. I say that because Cleveland knows rail. So we really had a comparison when we said, now what do we do with Euclid Avenue between bus, rail, light rail, heavy rail? We had that, certainly that perspective. Don't know what that stuff is up there. Euclid Avenue history, this is before that picture was taken, that the trolleys were very, very important, I think, to downtown Cleveland. You know, this is our main street. This was Millionaire's Row. This was a place to be. Tremendous utilization of public transit. As that picture showed, at some point in time, the trolleys disappeared. People celebrated. We went back to buses, and the number 6 bus line was the workhorse for Cleveland. Highest ridership bus line, 24/7, great service for us. However, I've got to change this. This really was 1952 based on that picture. However, what Cleveland saw, what Euclid Avenue saw after the streetcars disappeared, was continued disinvestment in the region. Disinvestment, people that felt they weren't being connected. People who took the streetcars were not going to take the bus. That four-letter word in America, B-U-S-S, I think it is. Did a lot of alternatives analysis. Don was involved in some of this. Subway, light rail, BRT, do nothing, keep the number six. Actually, the voters voted at some point in time in the 50s to build a subway under Euclid Avenue. It was going to be a county project. This was prior to our organization being formed. It was going to be the county highway engineer was going to develop the subway. Well, not too many highway engineers back then, very different today, were public transit oriented, so it never happened. So really we're stuck as a region with the number six bus line. Ongoing issues, what do we do, how to provide that connectivity? The goal of the system we were designing or evaluating was one where we knew we had to serve about 30,000 people a day, wanted connectivity between the other services that RTA provided, and wanted funding. It was very important to us to be able to get some New Starts funding. We all know what that's entailed. It's got to be very effective, cost-effective. It's got to meet various criteria. Wanted affordable, number one, to allow us to get the FTA funding. And we knew after it was built, we would be responsible to operate it. So again, that operating cost was extremely important to me, to us. And the big pusher of this project might have been the RTA, but the biggest pusher really was a downtown development group, the Chamber of Commerce. Because people who had these great buildings on Euclid Avenue saw continuous disinvestment, so their land values decreased, their property value decreased, their vacancies increased, wanted some stimulus to say, how are we going to bring back Euclid Avenue, I think, to its glory. Bus rapid transit was selected. That image thing, if we're going to do BRT, number one, we're not going to call it bus, we're going to call it better. And we're going to have a very rail-like system. The only thing missing is the tracks. So we really tried to design this as you would a rail system. My mantra when I'm out talking to people about the system, which, again, this is really early BRT. No one had really done it before in the U.S. But very simple, fast, safe, convenient, and first class. That's really what we try to get through to people as to what was going to be the resulting system. This project I talked about today was 9.3 miles long. We reduced 108 bus stops to 36 stations, again, reducing the stops and increasing the space between, as Matt talked about, reducing travel time 48 minutes to 28. Much more than a public transit project, sidewalks, curbs, roads, landscaping, trees, sewer lines, water lines, full gamut. Very pedestrian friendly. We know that's the future. A lot of landscaping and things like that. A couple pictures, again, we had no pictures to show people. I'm going to show you a few pictures that I showed people back then to transform Euclid Avenue from this into this. Okay? From this into this. The difference are the sidewalks, the trees, the new roadway, the exclusive lanes, the center median, buried all the overhead cables, new lights, and you can see certainly had no idea what the vehicle was going to look like. I'll talk about the vehicle a little later on. But that was really the image. We were able to get the full funding grant agreement. I think most major projects also need a major leader. We had a number of leaders. As I said, the business community really drove this from the need. This individual here, I don't know if you recognize him, but this is former Mayor Voinovich, former County Commissioner Voinovich, former Governor Voinovich, and at this time, Senator Voinovich. So George saw the need, the mission, pledged some money from the state's perspective when he was governor, and pounded the table on the FTA to get the full funding grant agreement when he was the senator. So he saw the vision and thought this, certainly without him, this probably would never have happened. Spent about $200 million, which is a pretty decent piece of change. We were able to get the FFGA for the federal government for half of it. The rest is from ODOT, ourselves, the city, and yes, even the MPO kicked in some CMEC money to make it all work. It's very important. Strong community support. I mentioned the chamber being the big supporter. This was the number one project in the state in terms of a lobbying perspective in Washington. Who are the biggest leaders in the city? The biggest company is, the biggest entity is the Cleveland Clinic. The CEO of the Cleveland Clinic is Toby Cosgrove, probably, you know, the 800-pound gorilla, even though he's not fat, he's very fit, in Cleveland. But I'm going to play a little radio ad that, again, the chamber put out talking about how important this project is, and it shows the support, I think, from the top. I think I am.
We've been having some technical difficulties with the audio.
just he's saying this is the best thing since sliced bread, by the way. So again, when you have people like Toby Kosgrove talking about how this is going to redevelop Euclid Avenue and this, how this investment, important this investment is, we don't think the audio is going to work on. Okay. I'll tell you how great people talk say about the system. Couple renderings. One reason why people come to Cleveland to see the Health Line is there's three different distinct configurations along one corridor. This is the downtown portion. If I was talking rail vernacular, this is a center platform station serving both outbound and inbound trains. This is the downtown configuration. Again, the vehicles have doors on both sides, like a train has doors on both sides. These are nothing more than a train on rubber tires. Kind of a curb shot of that same rendering. Traffic lanes, exclusive lanes for transit, upgraded sidewalk, trees, landscaping, as you can see. In the midtown portion of the corridor, this is what it looks like. A little different configuration, through traffic lanes for traffic, signalized turning lanes for traffic, the exclusive lanes for BRT. Again, this lane, far side stop, cross the intersection, stops at this station. This lane comes here, crosses, and stops at this station. The reason we did it different in Midtown, and this is the majority of the system, is in this corridor, since we're now dropping off pickup on the right hand, the more traditional side, I can have other bus routes come on Euclid Avenue, use the corridor, use the station, use the signal preemption, use the off-board fare collection, really to improve my entire network. So again, very important. Again, street side view, the bike lanes, general traffic lanes, turn lanes, all individual signalized, and the two lanes for BRT. There was also a portion, the far easterly portion of the corridor, where we simply could not get an exclusive lane. You know, it is not as good. We certainly slow down, but it still works. Again, through a queue drop system, the RTV pulls over to the curb, operates more like a bus system would, but with a lot of the same amenities. This is more of the BRT light variety. Some of the rail characteristics, we talked about faster, exclusive right-of-way, single prioritization, precision docking, a system we sold, we went out and saw in Essen, Germany, and Leeds, England, and brought back to the U.S., level boarding stations, off-board fare collection. Actually, the speed in our exclusive lanes is 35 miles per hour, where the speed in the adjacent auto lanes is 25 miles per hour. So we're trying to push, I think, that whole speed. A convenient service, 24/7, every 5 minutes I mentioned. Again, first class, the vehicle, it's not a bus, it's a rapid transit vehicle, and use of a lot of technology. A few pictures. Here's the signal head for our exclusive lanes, different from the auto signal heads, so the motorists are not confused. The precision docking, how it works, a little docking wheel in front so the vehicle slides in, easy on, off for everyone. A very quick bridge plate, not a long, elaborate ramp you might see on some buses. The off-board fare collection, every station has ticket vending machines and validators, or maybe multiples depending on their location. The fare enforcement is with our transit police department. That assures, number one, people pay and provides that level of security for people that are on the vehicle. State-of-the-art technology, the real-time information at every station, emergency call boxes, cameras on the stations, cameras on the corridor, 12 cameras on every vehicle, so we were camered out. We knew when the project was over, it was going to look like maybe ODOT or DOT or the city did the project. What was going to be recognizable back to RTA, back to our organization, was really two things. It's the stations and the vehicles. Everything else is a road's a road or a sidewalk's a sidewalk. So we spent a lot of time trying to work on the design of the station. Many too many design charrettes. Much too much public input. The concern is we wanted something substantial, but didn't want something to take away from some of the great architecture. I think we did well with it. There's three different styles or sizes, but all the panels are interchangeable. All the components are interchangeable from our perspective to maintain them. It really works. Just a couple shots of some of those stations. Very simple, but again, I think they worked very well for us. Very simple signage. The biggest challenge we had, again, back in 2004, 2005, was really the vehicle. What was that vehicle? What was that rail-like vehicle going to look like? The only ones we found were in Europe, and they weren't Buy America compliant, so we couldn't buy them. So that was really the biggest issue we had. This is the closest we came, believe it or not. Looks pretty bad, right? Not really great image. We work with the manufacturer. We bought some of them. This is the 60-foot articulated hybrid electric New Flyer vehicle that Seattle bought a couple hundred of. We work with them, actually advance some design money. We say, okay, we like the guts, we like the drivetrain, but what can we do to make this look more rail-like? We spent gave them $1.9 million to redesign the vehicle, entered into an agreement with them, a royalty agreement. So if other people bought, if this wasn't just Joe's crazy idea, and if other people bought this vehicle, they would amortize our expenses and we get that design money back, which we did. 19 other systems have bought this vehicle, so it really produced a vehicle for the industry. We didn't get 100% to where we wanted to get, but we got 80% to where we wanted to get. So it worked out really well for us. A lot of landscaping, I mentioned before. Work with the Downtown Cleveland Alliance, the Downtown Business Group, where we could not put trees because of underground utility issues. We raised some money with them to put in some planters. Again, really does a good job. And economic development. I'm really too bad some of this audio might not work. But this was the big driver. Unlike in New Jersey or New York, we have newspaper reporters that are sometimes critical of what we do. You don't have those here, right? So we had one of our newspaper critics come and said, you know, you're doing all this construction on Euclid Avenue. You're going out giving speeches talking about $2.5 billion of economic development. We don't believe your numbers. We're going to do our own study. So we gave Steve Litt the information we had. And three Sundays later, this was the front page of the Sunday paper, called The Rebirth. I couldn't have come up with a better headline myself. And I hate headline writers. But The Rebirth that says Euclid Quarter, a project, has already benefited, brought $4.3 billion, not the $2.5 I was using. And Steve said, Joe, you were wrong. You're looking at Euclid Avenue. We looked two blocks either side of Euclid Avenue. Lots happened there because of your project. I apologize to Steve. I'm wrong as always, but I'll use your number. So that number's certainly grown since then. And really talked about the inside spread was all the development happening all along the corridor. We also did a one-year later story, the year after we opened the service, and this 4.3 blew over $5 billion. Very, very positive. We'll see if this works. Tracy Nichols, Economic Development Director of the city. Tracy?
She said busting social
spread. But again, people are coming to Cleveland to see, you know, how this works and why this works. A couple pictures. This is a building during our construction, 666 Euclid Avenue. Probably looks like a lot of buildings in Newark, unfortunately. This is how it looked when we opened. First floor retail, upper floors, upscale apartments, leased out within 3 days, and there were 223 people on the waiting list last week. So it's continually leased out. People say, well, how do you know this development's happening because of the project? I said, because people called me. I've talked with them. We've walked the corridor. You know, this Dick Pace, which we won't hear from him either, he said, I wanted to invest. Tell me about the corridor. Tell me what's going to happen. And Dick made a major investment. And the two things Dick would have talked to you about if the audio worked was, number one, he invested there because of the project, which was important. And number two, the value of the project, he has an incubator type building. I think there's 23 different tenants, but the tenants of the building use the health line. These are suits, none of which would have used the number 6 bus. Very, very important. Ari Marin, Ari's a new developer. Him and his dad, two-man team, did great things. Ari was one of the somewhat vocal opponents. He wanted to do more in building retail downtown, and really felt that the key to retail is more parking. Very simple, no questions asked. And actually, true story, he's now become a supporter, but he said, you know, we were going to ruin downtown, which was already ruined. We had to build more parking and have it free. And when I explained to him we're trying to redo this with Federal Transit Authority money, he continued, I said, Ari, if there was a federal parking authority, you can get money to do that, go for it. But here we have to run buses. His next comment was, well, do they have to stop? Because he thought that was going to be true story. That was going to be a major impediment. Okay, here's his development down on 4th Street and Euclid Avenue. He has just made, you know, as all these bus routes, you know, there's two ends of the line. Well, that was the one end of the line. This is the other end of the line, and University Circle. This was taken last spring, and I know that because I had dinner in this building last fall. These two buildings are done. Lower floor retail, upper floor apartments. This is the Museum of Contemporary Art, which opened. I went to the opening last October. And if you come to Cleveland today, you'll see that this parking lot here is demolished. These buildings are being extended. Very, very successful. This is his investment at the other end of the line with limited parking. Also, a lot of major corporations on Euclid Avenue that have made major investments, turned their back door on Euclid Avenue and made Euclid Avenue their front door. The University Hospital, the second biggest employer in the region, and I mentioned the Cleveland Clinic, the largest employer in the region also. This was a $500 million new heart center focused right on Euclid Avenue. Just some photos. Again, the BRT line, a big major redevelopment building. This is Dick Pace's building. Here's one of our stations. New sewer, the regional sewer office. Here's the BRT line. So again, people are investing. It's for real. It's happening. This is a photo of one of our vehicles, one of our rapid transit vehicles at the Cleveland Auto Show. We took our vehicle to the auto show. It's the most expensive, most energy efficient vehicle there. This year, we made a change. If you remember a few slides ago, that rail-like image, we were going to call this the Silver Line to coordinate with our Red Line, Blue Line, and Green rail lines. This is where the announcement was made that the Silver Line was going to be the Health Line, and the reason was the naming rights were sold to the Cleveland Clinic and University Hospital, two biggest employers in the region. They're giving us money every year for the next 25 years to help maintain the corridor. Again, the sell for that was, don't give me money because I need a pay raise. Give me money so we can invest that money back in the quarter, so we can exchange flowers out 3 times a year, so we can clean every station every day. It's really an investment back in the quarter. But the important thing is, if we didn't build that rail-like brand, they weren't going to invest. I don't think any bus line has been named yet. So very important, again, that building that brand and maintaining that brand. The name worked out well for us, pumping new life into the city. We really work off of that. Today, it's an integral part of, we had the ribbon cutting. There's Senator Voinovich, front and center. It's now integrated into everything we do. Very, very positive comments from our customers in terms of on-time performance and satisfaction. Ridership went up 48% the first year, again, over our highest ridership bus route. And it's been continuing to grow. Things fell well in terms of the stations and the vehicles and the landscaping. Just some pictures, very pleased with, I think, the end result. I would have not done a lot of things differently. The reason I'm here is because we've been getting a lot of accolades around the country for the work we did. So pleased to give you something. Talk more about this later. Ari's not going to be talking to us. Nobody is. But very important, there were some critics that said it should have been rail or nothing. Not a lot, but there were a few. And if we listened to them and if we took their advice, it would have been nothing. Euclid Avenue would have looked not like it did in 2002, but would have looked much worse because nobody was investing then, and no one would have invested between that time and today either. So be pleased to answer some questions later. Thank you.
Interesting.